Yes, it is. That's this week's Jazzy 88 Artist of the Week in the Emerging Artist category. All the way from Canada, Patrice Zagu. How are you doing today?
Good. I am so great. And good afternoon / good morning to you. Happy to be with you.
I know. Now, are you guys on a different time there than us here?
We are an hour ahead, so it's 1:30 in the afternoon here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're at 12:30 Central, and just tickled to death to have you with us today. And Patrice is, I just wanted to give the quick story to the audience that a couple of her songs on her prior project, prior to this one that we're talking about today, were... I selected them for the Gospel Jazz Noon Hour.
Oh.
Yeah, because we have Gospel Jazz Sunday, and Joy and Jazz from 12 to 2. So I be minding everybody's music, you know. I'm in everybody's stuff, you know. And I was like, I came across this and I heard Tate say, I was like, I heard that song. We played it a little bit earlier. I think X played it. And which one was it, X?
It was This Little Light of Mine.
Yes, and I'm like, oh, honey, that fits right up in here. That's all up in here. And that's how I really discovered you.
Oh.
Was trolling music. And because we are the station that we are, this music comes in here like on a steamship. It comes in here fast and a lot. So when I do have my moments of pure searching for cuts, I was like, ooh, I never heard of her. but it doesn't matter because I like this song. And it works. And then, lo and behold, you come out with this new project. So, Patrice, I thought it was time that we took some time out to find out more about you. And
The
email, you told me you used to live in Nashville.
Used to live in Nashville. I have a Nashville connection, and I have a Memphis connection.
Oh, Lord, let's hear about the Nashville connection first.
Okay, so my Nashville connection is that I was a student at Belmont. So I moved to Nashville in 1998. Mm-hmm. I did a Master of Music degree in classical voice. Yes, and I graduated in 2000. I stayed and I worked by teaching. I taught voice, actually, at Belmont Academy and at the music school on Music Row, which is no longer there. Oh. And I also coached ice skating at the rink near the Parthenon. So that's my first connection to Nashville then, or I have my secondary connections are via recording these two records, which both albums I did sessions in Nashville. But anyway, then my connection to Memphis is through my husband, who actually works there. He took a job there. So we were there from 2009 to 2010, not too long. And then we moved back to New Jersey, which is why I'm on Eastern Standard Time and I'm an hour ahead of you. So, yeah.
Wow, so you have touched Tennessee soil a couple of times.
I have, yeah.
And that's fabulous. So Belmont class of what?
2000.
Okay, so for all the Belmont alum, faculty, and staff, this is one of yours. She did good. Now, Patrice, you started in classical and were trained as such, and now here you lay up in jazz. Now, what's that all about?
Well, what that's all about is an outside person, an outside source, hearing something in my voice and making a suggestion. So had this person, i.e. my husband, not have planted the seed and made the suggestion, I'm not sure it would have veered out. But like I said, he heard something in my voice, and actually he said to me, you know, I think it's time you really consider branching out in another direction. And, I mean, he never outright said, you need to leave classical singing and operatic repertoire and all that. He just suggested, he's like, I think you should explore this. So I did explore it, and then we decided to do the first record, Speak Low, which you played the... the gospel tune from This Little Light of Mine. And then he said, you know, I think it's time to do another album, which is the one we're talking about. And I thought, you know what, I should probably study commercial voice with somebody for this record. So I did, and I have a teacher in New York City, and the technique is actually fairly different, believe it or not.
Oh, I'm certain. I am certain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You really let it rip on both of the projects, and I'm certain that there had to be some big differences. What would you say was the biggest difference between, you know, the being classically trained and playing and now singing the jazz?
I would say singing in chest voice. Because when I'm singing the classical repertoire, I mostly sing in mixed voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in other words, for example, I mean, I never learned how to belt. I didn't know how to belt because it wasn't part of my training as a classical singer. And it also was not that type of singing, that type of usage of the voice is not called for in the repertoire.
Mm.
Yeah, so when I ventured out for the second record, I wanted to gain greater technical mastery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I sought out the teacher that I did. And that's one of the biggest differences. I'd say the second challenge is not singing with vibrato on every note. So to actually sing with straight tone, believe it or not, is quite a discipline for me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And of course, then you get into sort of interpretive things like phrasing and improvisation. I mean, as a classical singer, I didn't improvise too much. It depends on the repertoire. So those types of things.
Now, which one, since you've been trained in both, which one do you find that you really lean more toward? You've done them both now.
Ooh, that is a hard question to answer. Because both of them have their separate appeals, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And each kind of provide different fulfillment for me artistically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of thinking, like, if I were to ask a friend of mine who, say, a guitarist who plays both classical guitar and, say, rock and jazz, what is their favorite? I'd think they'd be stumped like I am right now saying, gosh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, though. It is enjoyable singing in English.
Okay.
You know, like singing most of the jazz and more contemporary pop literature repertoire, it's almost exclusively in English. I do have one Italian piece on If It Ain't Love.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty cool to sing in my mother tongue, whereas with the classical repertoire, I was often singing in, you know, French, Italian, German, Russian, Spanish, Portuguese, etc. So there is a comfort level in singing in my native language, which is English.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Mm-hmm. Now, the people that know you for the, you know, you were an educator and trained in classical, are they surprised to hear you sing in jazz now?
Some are, but most are actually very encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't actually say I've ever had anyone say, you know what, I can't believe you're doing that.
Huh.
Or, girl, what are you doing venturing down that path? Like, are you crazy?
Right.
Most everybody that I can think of who's given me feedback has said, good for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why not? Like, if you can do it, go for it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, it seems as though, and I don't know enough about your life, but it just seems as though you've always been that way, right?
This kind of repertoire, this kind of literature, this has always been part of my DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been the kind of music I liked to sing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, the journey I went on and the path I went on, it was always sort of on the back burner,
mm-hmm.
never in the foreground,
mm-hmm.
really until these last two records. And even, I would say now, very specifically, since this latest record, If It Ain't Love.
Yeah, no question. Now,
uh-huh.
And you know, what I'm getting at is, you know, you were a figure skater at the top of your game.
Mm.
And now are you going to be singing and skating?
A lot of people ask me that, actually. You'd be surprised. And I kind of chuckle and I go, oh, no, I can't do that. And then I'm like, well, actually, maybe I can do that. What I need is like Cirque du Soleil to come to me and go, hi, can we do a show? And we have you skating and singing, or, you know, I need a promoter or something like that.
No question. I mean, just, you know, I think you're the first jazz vocalist that's been a figure skater I've ever interviewed in all these years.
Well,
so, I have to ask that
question. I have to laugh because, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I was just going to quickly say, I mean, I kind of have to laugh at myself because it's like a quintessentially Canadian thing.
Yes.
You know, it's like, where else would you find somebody who was a figure skater and who is a singer? Well, you'd probably have to go to Canada.
No kidding.
You know?
No kidding. Wow. Well, you know, that was when I was reading up on you. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Was music in your head when you were on the rink out there skating?
Yep. Absolutely.
Really?
And that's it's so interesting that you would ask me that question. Because actually, quite a few people that I've talked to, especially journalists and broadcasters like yourself, they actually understand that there probably is a connection between ice skating and music.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, in the days when I was skating, we weren't allowed to have music that had vocals.
Mm.
So times have changed. Like if you watch the Olympics and the World Championships, often they use popular music with lyrics. But when I was skating, it was pretty much all classical music. So, believe it or not, I sort of learned some of the old classical war horses through figure skating, because that was the music we used for our routines, and also for ice dance routines as well, so the free skating and the ice dance. So it's interesting that journalists and broadcasters seem to you know, infer and just are, they know that there's a connection.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, as far as we're concerned, you know, many of us, music is, you know, is the big dot in that, so, you know, it touches everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hadn't really thought about the fact that the ice skaters don't, they just recently started using vocals?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, and like the old timers like me are like, oh, I can't believe it. We were just up in our, I can't believe, and now I'm kind of getting used to it, but I'm old fashioned.
Is it because of concentration?
Because of concentration, you know, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That's a good question. I'm not too sure. You know, they took out school figures, I believe, in the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
That's old school figure skating for you as well. And part of the reason they took it out was because of the television networks. Uh-huh. It didn't generate revenue and it was boring.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like the market drove the sport in a way.
Right.
But.
Well, as the market does with everything, because, you know, to be perfectly honest, there was a time not so long ago when a lot of the traditional smooth jazz stations wouldn't play vocals.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of the vocalists were frustrated because they couldn't get any airplay, and they couldn't get any love, and they couldn't. I mean, they were like, "Why?" So, and to me, that just didn't make any sense.
Right.
So, you know, and that's why, you know, this station, we're Smooth and Contemporary, and you know, the Contemporary umbrella, a lot of things slide in there.
Mm-hmm.
And lucky for our listeners at Nashville's Jazz Station that you all get exposed to all these beautiful vocalists who really, really, you know, what would we do without Sarah Vaughan and, you know, other great women, you know, like that. And, I mean, what would we do without having their, you know, Billie Holiday. I mean, what would this, where would this world be, y'all?
Yeah, I agree with you. Yes, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, so I just feel, you know, just to some it takes a minute to get used to.
Hmm.
And that's why I wondered about the concentration piece, because I don't know. I think sometimes in the jazz world, we just parse things out to the end of infinity. To the point of nothing can be that strained and that pure.
Yeah.
Puree is not pure enough. I mean, you know what?
Right.
It's just
right.
You know,
yeah.
Just gets to the point of just insane.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, having said that, now, Patrice, let me remind the audience, our artist of the week today is emerging jazz vocalist Patrice Zegu. Her new release is If It Ain't Love. Now, when did it officially come out, Patrice? Earlier this year?
March 22nd.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we have in our collection, we have one cut currently Cut number four with Tata Vega. Any excuse to hear Tata Vega go with that voice of her, I'm like, any excuse with Patrice. And Yes We Can, the Pointer Sisters classic hit. Now let's find out from you who produced, who's on the project with you. I see some, I recognize a few of these names on here myself. And tell us about these 16 cuts on here.
Sure. Well, I'll start with the track that features Tata Vega, since you were sort of just chatting about it and whatnot. So I actually kind of have to pinch myself a little bit before I launch into my description of this, because some of the people that agreed to work with me and my husband just were really just so grateful and kind of sometimes surprised they said yes. But the person or persons that produced Yes We Can include David Page from Toto. And your jazz folks will recognize David Page as the son of Marty Page. And he's not only, you know, with Toto and one of the primary songwriters for Toto, but he is a really, really skillful, sensitive, and wise producer. So he produced that track along with Mike Lang, who is a well-known studio musician, studio pianist in Los Angeles. And then Bill Maxwell actually arranged the background vocals, and he was our connection to Tata Vega. Yeah, so that's how that one happened. But actually, Mike Lang and David Page, they produced Losing You, which is a Randy Newman song, which actually is not so jazz-ish, but still incredibly beautiful, lovely. And actually, David and Mike brought in Nan Schwartz to orchestrate it, and some of your listeners might know her name from her work with Natalie Cole. So the other song that Mike and David produced is Remembrances, which is an original tune composed by Mike Lang. And he originally wrote the tune for Stan Getz. And then later, Stan Getz's son wrote a lyric to the piece. And Mike told my husband and I about this, so we decided to record that. But some other really phenomenal arrangers and producers on my record include Mark Kibble, who you know because he's
from
the city. Yeah. And he is the, your listeners know him from Take Six. And what they may or may not know it is that he is their primary arranger. And actually, he just won, I think, his 10th Grammy.
Oh, my.
Yeah, in February. And that particular Grammy, he was nominated for two, and he won one for the category of arranging. So he produced and arranged the very first track on my record called Lover Come Back to Me, the a cappella version and the band version, which I know you just played a short time ago, which actually the band we recorded at Sony Tree in Nashville.
Oh, did you?
Yes, with Randy Poole and all those great horn players that you guys have in Nashville. I'm telling you.
We do.
Oh, you do.
Yeah,
we
feel good about it.
and rightly so. I mean, the musicians, jazz and beyond, in Nashville are incredible.
They are. They are.
Incredible, amazing. So he did that. And then Mark produced another a cappella track with Take Six called Wrap Your Troubles in Dreams, which is great. And then to round it out, we got the John Clayton and the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra.
Wow.
I mean, wow, it was amazing. So John Clayton, to me, is like sort of the heir apparent to Count Basie in terms of arranging.
Yes.
And producing, but arranging. I don't know how Count Basie produced, but certainly in terms of arranging. So he did four tracks on my record. He did Jersey Bounce, which actually is one of my personal favorites on the album. He did the Fats Waller tune, If It Ain't Love, which is the title of my album. He did the Percy Mayfield tune, Please Send Me Someone to Love. Yeah, and then he did the Duke Ellington track, Just Squeeze Me. And then finally we had Jorge Calandrelli. And again, some of your listeners might recognize the name because he's arranged and produced a lot of projects for Barbara Streisand, Michael Bublé. He did the Tony Bennett Lady Gaga album. And so on. So he is most associated with this very luxurious, rich orchestral sound. And that is it. It's a big record.
Oh, yeah. No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of talented beyond measure people.
Definitely.
You just fell into the right. You fell into the right group right there.
Yeah. Yes, I surely did. No doubt.
Yeah, no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you meet Mark and Alvin and the Take Six guys when you lived here?
Oh, when did I meet him? No, I think I was actually living in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm trying to think now. I think it was probably back in about 2010
uh-huh.
or 11. Yeah, I was living in New Jersey. But we've traveled back and forth from Nashville a fair bit, mainly for recording. And actually, we shot a music video at Ocean Wave back in September, and Mark was in that. So I know him sort of from Nashville, but mainly from my home base in New Jersey.
Oh, okay, interesting.
And same with Alvin, yeah.
Yeah, and their a cappella music and everything just is just going to be forever beautiful, just forever.
Oh, they're masters. Yeah. Cream of the crop. Yeah. They are the Olympic gold medalists
yes.
of the sport of a cappella singing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They can sing and skate.
They can sing and skate. I agree. Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, next time, you know, we'll see if that actually develops.
There you go.
The, Patrice, this, project is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Have you been receiving good airplay since it came out?
I have. This record is really resonating with people, both listeners and music directors and radio stations, DJs, other DJs who are both, you know, doing terrestrial radio and non-terrestrial radio. And really, everybody and everything in between. I can't say I've had a lot of haters so
well,
far.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, so we can unanimously agree on something.
Yeah.
For me personally, it didn't matter if they did or didn't. It was going to be on here. So that's the way
we're gonna roll. I'm really grateful.
Oh, definitely. Now, a couple of last things, and I appreciate you letting us carve into your day like this.
Oh, I appreciate your support.
Absolutely.
Believe me, I'm grateful.
I know. And you, I can tell in your spirit, which game is New Jersey playing?
New Jersey playing?
X is sending me a note.
Oh.
X, what are you saying?
I was going to tell you to ask her who's going to win the game tonight.
Oh. Patrice.
Oh. Raptors.
So.
Because I'm Canadian, song. That's why I said that.
Okay. Well, what'd you expect?
I'm just testing her.
Oh. This is a test in the middle of a music concert.
It's in Canada. It's in Canada,
oh,
correct?
Okay, the Raptors are Canadian.
No, see, Justin Trudeau is going to call me. If I didn't say the right answer, I would really be in big trouble.
They'll take your skates from you.
There you go.
When he said game, I was like, is it basketball? Is it? You know, I was like, what? You're talking hockey, right?
Well, hockey was on last night, and the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup.
Okay, I don't know. It's too much to keep up with.
It's too much to keep
it
up
is.
With.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
I got, long as I can remember the home teams, I'm good. But beyond that, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Patrice, the of all the divas, great jazz divas of the past and present, who you feel has been the greatest influence on you and your style?
Ooh. Well, okay, here's my answer, and it might not be the best answer, and here's why I'm saying that. Sometimes I'm really attracted to the non-divas,
mm-hmm.
to the anti-divas, believe it or not.
Mm.
Now, you talked about Sarah Vaughan earlier, definitely an influence. Complete genius of a singer, a total innovator, but the thing that attracts me the most to someone like Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald, of course, is actually just the beauty of tone of the voice. I mean, I can talk about, oh, the technical feats and the phrasing and the this and that, but I mean, just the sheer beauty of timbre of the voice really gets me.
Yeah.
So these are, you know, I mean, these are the giants of the, right? But my smaller giants, that doesn't even make sense, but I know what you mean, because I know you know what I mean, because I'm trying to say anti-divas. I'm attracted to voices and singers like Eva Cassidy, who you couldn't really put her in a category, and she just did her own thing. And, you know, she was singing jazz and gospel and country and English folk songs and even African-American spirituals. You know, and she was a white singer from Washington, D.C. And it's interesting, if your listeners are interested, they could Google this, but there was an interesting article in Jazz Times magazine a few years back, and it was about Bruce Lundvall, who was the owner of Blue Note Records. Mm-hmm. And the article is entitled "The One That Got Away." Mm-hmm. And he explained his regret at not signing her because he didn't know what to do with her. Mm. But the voice is so... I don't even have the right adjectives because she touches me so much with her voice. As a matter of fact, I find it hard to listen to her because I really start crying, which is...
Wow.
Weird for me because I'm not a crier. I'm not that sensitive, but she gets me. I love Diane Shore.
Uh-huh.
I love Diana Krall.
Uh-huh.
I love Cassandra Wilson.
Uh-huh.
I love, oh gosh, there's all these new young singers too, like Veronica Swift.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
There's Jasmia Horn. I could go on.
Yeah. Well, one of my students up here that we had, intern, and Jasmia Horn was just one of her faves. I was like, I didn't know you knew anything about jazz. He said, oh, Miss Kay, I know jazz. Yeah, he was about 18 or 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was so impressed with that. Now she's, you know, one of the singers here on the campus and everything, so on the Jamie side. Now, Patrice, tell the audience where they can find the project, you know, find out more about you, where you're going to be, that type of stuff.
Sure, I'd be happy to share this info. So my main hub is my website, and my first name is Patrice, spelled like Patrice Rushen's first name, P-A-T-R-I-C-E. And then I have a French name because I'm Canadian, French-Canadian, so the last name is J-E-G-O-U, Jigou, and it's J-E-G-O-U. PatriceChigou.com. All my social links are there. I'd love for people to come and say hi to me on Facebook.
Definitely.
I really would, because I have a lot of great videos there of rehearsals and background footage and that kind of thing. And you can go to Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. You can go to iTunes to buy If It Ain't Love. And I sell autographed copies on my website.
Oh. And they can also say they heard you here on WFSK.
They certainly can.
Okay, y'all can give us a shout out.
I definitely will. Absolutely. I've been sharing this interview like my folks on, you know, Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
And Instagram. I actually emailed Belmont to tell them, and they're like, "Oh my goodness, we're so excited. We're going to do a social media story about this." Oh,
oh
my goodness.
Wonderful. So
they're very supportive as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Belmont. I'm glad to know we have the Belmont family that listens. And
absolutely.
They can also, the global family is listening at WFSKFM.org. And we're recording this, Patrice, so I'll put it up on my podcast, okay?
Oh, thanks.
Now, we thank you so much. And going to continue following your great work. And you keep me posted on things and, you know, how they're going. And next time you come to the city,
yes.
You know, you got to look me up now, okay?
Oh, I will. Absolutely. And I definitely will keep you posted. I've been nominated for an Independent Music Award with Alvin Chia and Mark Kibble from Take Six.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And that award ceremony is in New York City next Friday.
Oh,
so if we win, I will definitely send you an email.
Definitely, definitely. And hug those guys for me.
I will. Definitely.
Oh, thank you so much, Patrice. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you today.
Oh, and thank you for your support.
Absolutely.
It's really a privilege and an honor. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. All right, have a good rest of the day.
Yes, ma'am, you too.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, she was this wonderful, lovely, emerging talent. No, you know, just really classy young lady. We're happy to have her music in our collection. And Patrice, thank you. And just go to all her social and stuff. And follow her, and just lovely. Now, we need to give away a little bit of music, and then in a second I'm going to talk to our good buddy, Vale Johnson. But first, X, we give away some music. Have we given away any music yet?
Yes.
Oh, good. Good. So it's time, right?
That's right.
What do they need to do?
Give us a call, 615-329-8810, 615-329-8810.
Okay, and be the...
eighth caller.
And quit,
eighth caller.
Quit waiting and
yes,
hesitating.
That's right.
So do it now, right?
That's right. 329-8810, 615-329-8810.
So get on the horn, and we're going to put this beautiful project, and you know, she named all the great people connected with this, as well as hearing the great, oh, we love Take Six, man. We love those cats, something fierce. And the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra and Take Six featured on this new release from Patrice. So while y'all are getting on the phone, because there's 16 cuts on here, that's a lot. While you all are getting on the phone and giving us a shout to pick up this Jazz Diva's work, our number is 615-329-8810. It's Free Music Thursday at 615-329-8810. Now, coming up this weekend, Saturday the 15th at... the Jazz Cave at the National Jazz Workshop, and they are friends and supporters of the Artist of the Week, as well as WFSK, and it's a mutual thing. We support them, they support us, and that's how it should be, because we're all in the jazz family. They are having an event this weekend with our good friend, our dear buddy, the one and only Mr. Vale Johnson. And Vale, you know, you are as precious as the day is long. How you doing?
Oh, thanks. I'm doing great, Sharon. Thanks very much. That's very kind.
Absolutely. Well, should I not say you're wonderful?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Because you know, I can change like the weather now. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. Because, no, Vale, you know, I'm just joking. Vale,
I do.
For many of you that listen to the WFSK Radiothon every year, Vale is a regular fixture, and he is part of the Radiothon family, and we just love it. Because, you know, sometimes, a lot of times, you have brought your guitar down. One year you brought your guitar and your wife.
Yep, I did.
And, I mean, so, you know, and you always bring a sense of humor and just good energy. So, you know, we have a wonderful relationship with you, and I want to support you this weekend for your performance. Tell us all about it.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a one-man show. I'm calling it Around the World in 40 Years. And basically, it's my life story in the music industry, and it talks about, I play music and talk about all the different artists I've worked with, which most people don't know. I'm associated with Kenny G, and you know, Kenny, and that's awesome. But I've done so many more things that people don't know about, and I think I could sum it up in like one quick sentence. I will tell you that I was thinking about this morning. I am positive that I'm the only person in the world who has toured with both David Cassidy of the Partridge Family and Gil Scott-Heron. So you want to talk about and everything in between, you know, and that would be me.
That's a combo, baby. That's a combo right there.
Yeah. So it's like, I think I love you and the revolution will not be televised are in my personal music history. And that's how crazy my life has been. It's been really fantastic. So I'm playing music and telling stories. You know, it's all G-rated. Well, PG, you know, PG-rated stories, you know, suitable for the family. And and it's all just me in the spirit of Ed Sheeran, how he does with the looper and my bass. And I sing in most of the tunes. And I got a special guest coming in, Jeff Berlin, the infamous jazz bassist. He's going to come in. We've been doing some things together. Two basses, but oddly enough, it actually sounds like music. It doesn't sound like just two basses playing, which could be pretty boring. So anyway, that's what I'm doing, and I wanted to share, you know, the experiences of my touring. You know, I've been touring around around the world for 40 years and still am to this day. And I didn't want to write a book, and I don't feel like doing videos, you know, so I wanted to do the live show. It's, in some ways, it's kind of musical theater in that I'm, you know, I'm telling a story and sharing a lot of things, and there's humor and hopefully inspiration, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, for sure, you know, you got the sense of humor and and the personality. There's no question about that. So you will definitely keep the people entertained throughout the performance on Saturday night. Starts at what? It starts at 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, that's right.
Okay. Yep. And Dale, the Jazz Cave over there in Germantown. Is this your first performance for them over there?
It is. Yeah, it's the first time I've been there for a few different things, and the first time playing there. It's a pretty cool little room. I mean, it's really just like a nightclub.
Yeah,
you know, in the you know, with the nice stage and lights and everything. And
yeah,
it's really cool.
It is at 1319 Adams Street. You know, and that's that little bumpy road back there, but it is
down there by the old meatpacking plant. Right. I'm told is what that the area used to be.
Yeah, but it surely is just some good music, though.
Yeah.
For sure. So, 40, around the world in 40 years.
In 40 years, yeah.
Music and musings from the four-decade career of the great bassist, Bill Johnson. Bill, how long have you been living in this region now?
I've been here 9 years now.
Hush your mouth. You know, I believe...
I will not.
Please don't.
That makes for bad radio.
Yeah, it does. It does. No, we don't do dead air. I think when you, shortly after you moved here, was when I first came up. So,
yep.
You know, have we known each other that long?
Yes, we have.
Oh, my.
Yes, we have.
So, you're like Cousin Vale.
Yeah, something like that. You know, second, third cousin. You know, it's right in there.
See, that's...
It's in an area where, you know, you're never quite sure. It's like, yeah, okay, sure, why not? Yeah, okay, third cousin, yeah.
Now, so this will just let you all know that you're in for a great show Saturday night, because Vale is not short on things to come back. He's going to do you like this all night and play some great music. And, you know, Bill, I just want to cross-reference this with tomorrow, if everything goes well, because I know you stay on the road and do so much for so many.
Uh-huh.
But I have an interview tomorrow with Kenny G. And,
that's right.
And he is coming to the city, but you're going to be playing for him the following weekend, right?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yeah, we head out on our main summer tour on the 18th,
uh-huh.
And start up in Detroit, huh. Doing the newly named Aretha Franklin amphitheater.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was just Shane Park.
Uh-huh.
You remember that, Shane Park in Detroit? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we start there, and yeah, we'll be coming back through here, and then continuing on to the Northeast, and so yeah.
Well,
I'll be overexposed in Nashville.
Well, that's all right.
Yep.
So we'll have Bill Johnson two weekends in a row then.
That's right. Oh, there it is. Okay.
That's like a bonus.
Consider it a bonus.
Yeah, definitely. And then we don't see you again until October.
Anyway, but I'll be there.
Definitely. Now, where's the tickets? How you get them and all that?
Oh, they actually, you can buy them in advance. It's Brown Paper Tickets is the website. I think it's .com, Brown Paper Tickets. And then they can just go to, you can see the events there and go to Dale Johnson.
Okay. And they're $25.
Yeah, $25 or $15 for students.
Okay,
with ID.
Okay.
You need ID. You can't come. You're not getting in for $15 unless you have your student ID, Sharon.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
It. Yeah.
Because, you know, I look so young.
student ID or a Captain Kangaroo club card, that works too. That's fine.
And, you know. And the kids of today are like, who's he?
Yeah, exactly.
Google it, y'all. Google it. Now, what's the phone number? I see you got a couple of numbers on here for details and additional information on the event.
I don't have it in front of me, otherwise I'd read it off to you.
Okay,
I was not prepared for that.
Well, you know, with me, you always must be prepared. But I Mail, I got you, honey.
Yeah. Okay.
615-242-5299 or 800-838-3006 800-838-3006 That is around the world in 40 years in music and musings from the four-decade musical career of the one and only Vail Johnson. Vail, we wish you the very best on this and know the house will be packed just for you.
Oh, thanks so much, Sharon. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And have a good rest of the day, and we'll see you when we do.
Sounds good. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.